Scotsman, my bonnie in he. Oh, where is the boatman? Go bring him to me, for to ferry me over the Tyne to my honey, or to scull him across the rough waters to me. Oh, where is the boatman? I'll pay any money, and you for your troubles rewarded shall be, if you'll ferry me over the Tyne to my honey, and I will remember the boatman and thee. Get to my love if I would dee. The waters of Tyne stand between him and me. So here I must stand with a tear in my eye, all sobbing and sighing, my true love to see.
Now, tomorrow is Sunday, and I thought I would give you this mini sermon. Kind of a few words to the wise of what you can and can't do on Sunday. Well, it's a shame to beat your wife on a Sunday. It's a shame to beat your wife on a Sunday, when you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, it's a shame to beat your wife on a Sunday. It's a shame to get drunk on a Sunday. Yes, it's a shame to get drunk on a Sunday, when you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, it's a shame to get drunk on a Sunday. And it's a shame to cheat and steal on a Sunday. Yes, it's a shame to cheat and steal on a Sunday, when you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, it's a shame to cheat and steal on a Sunday. And it's a shame to play cards on a Sunday. And it's a shame to play cards on a Sunday, when you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, it's a shame to play cards on a Sunday. And it's a shame to whoop your kids on a Sunday. And it's a shame to whoop your kids on a Sunday, and you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's a shame to whoop your kids on a Sunday. Now, Gene Shilling of the Smoky Mountains, who wrote this song, or learned it growing up, when she got married, she and her husband wrote this verse. But it's great to make love on a Sunday. Oh, well, it's great to make love on a Sunday. And you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. Oh, it's great to make love on a Sunday. Want to sing some more? Okay. This song comes from the Sea Island Singers, John's Island, and it's one of my favorites, I think. It's an answer back song, and what you do is sing the same thing I sing right after me, and we sing the last line all together. goes like this. Ain't you got a right? 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 Together to the tree of life. Now that you got it, let's sing it. Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right to the tree of life? You've come a long way. You've come a long way. Ain't you got a right to the tree of life? The nature of this song is such that you gotta believe it. And you're not convincing me. Ain't you got a right? There we are. Ain't you got a right? Well, ain't you got a right to the tree of life? So rocky was the road. So rocky was the road. Well, ain't you got a right to the tree of life? I know that you're tired. I know that you're tired. But ain't you got a right to the tree of life? Well, ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right to the tree of life? My life will be sweeter. My life will be sweeter. Well, ain't you got a right to the tree of life? You can tell all my brothers. You can tell all my sisters, ain't you got a right to the tree of life? Sing it out now. Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right to the tree of life? I'd like to close with one of my favorite songs. And it won't work unless you sing it. And it's got a really hard chorus. It goes like this. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. Think you can handle that? Okay. Now, this is an English music hall song, and chances are the audience who participated was fairly well oiled. So put yourself in their shoes and sing accordingly. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra. That's the first five rows. What about everybody back there? So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. That's much better. Our old cat died last night. The wife said, bury it out of sight. We don't have a yard 'cause we're living in a flat. So what was I to do with the body of the cat? A big brown paper bag I spied, and popped our dear old cat inside. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. I went into a pub to have a whiskey neat, and gently laid me burden underneath the seat. I hadn't gotten more than halfway down the town when I heard a voice behind me. Here's your parcel, Mr. Brown. I had to stop and give the bloody fool a half a crown for bringing me the body in the bag. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. I heaved it in the river, but the hero of some play jumped right in to save it, crying hip, 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 hooray. He says to me, I don't do this as a rule, and so I'm rather wet and also rather cool. So I had to take me trousers and give them to the fool for bringing me the body in the bag. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. Yeah. I crept up some stairs as quiet as any mouse and gently laid me burden on the doorstep of an house. The door flew open and a lady dressed in blue says, pardonnez-moi, monsieur, but do you parlez-vous? I said, good heavens, no, my dear, I got better things to do, and skedaddled with me body in the bag. So I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. As I was going onward, my feet began to drag, when I thought I felt a movement from inside the bag. I looked inside and heard a plaintive meow. Don't worry, Tabby said, it's all right now. And there were seven little bodies in the bag. So off I went with the bodies in the bag, the bodies in the bag, ta-ra. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara. Now, let's welcome to the stage a favorite group of gospel singers, the Abundant Life Singers from Clearwater. The Abundant Life Singers.
Good evening, Hannah. How are you? Wet, huh? Hey, kids, did you know that it's about 11 o'clock? Do you know where your parents are? Uh-huh.
There's a whole lot of trouble going down among my people, and the world every word. I guess people are just trying to be people. Well, that's the way to live, from all I've heard.
All we need is a little bit more time to get it together. There's a whole lot of people been trying to get it together. Like you and me, that's all we need to be free.
There's people dining out on your street who need helping. Ah, some folks just don't know what it is they need. What they do for love, but love is a blessing. They're trying to be much more than a mouth to feed.
All we need is a little bit more time to get it together. There's a whole lot of people been trying to get it together, like you and me. That's all we need to be free. Just a little more time to get it together. Say all we need is a little bit more time to get it together. There's a whole lot of people been trying to get it together, like you and me. That's all we need to be free. Just a little more time to get it together. Let's get it together. Let's get it together. Let's get it together.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'd like to ask you tonight, what did the Indian say when his dog fell off the cliff?
Pretty good.
Well, you're almost right, but not quite right. Anybody else? Doggone is right. Hey, you're not all wet out there because somebody's laughing. If you're wondering why I'm talking like this, I have a very bad cold. Okay, girls, are you ready? If you know the words of this song, sing along with us. It's entitled Happiness. Put your hands together with us and help us.
Joy of living perfect, love sublime, I found real contentment, happy living in accord. I found happiness all the time, wonderful peace of mind when I found the Lord. Happiness I found, peace of mind I found.
Woo!
World behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, 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 stepping on the clouds,
going past the moon,
going past the moon,
stars and the planets,
stars and the planets.
I'm gonna walk,
I'm gonna walk
on the Milky White Way,
that Milky White Way.
well behind me. Going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds. Stepping on the clouds.
Okay, for those, thank you very much. For those who do not know who we are, Wanda will introduce the group for you.
I'll start on the end. This is Nate, my baby brother. This is my big brother, David McAbee. Uh-huh. I'm Wanda. That's our pastor, Reverend Otis C. Green, on the end.
Hi.
This is our baby sister, Michelle, and this is my sister, Barbara.
And we are Abundant Life. We were abundantly wet a while ago, but we survived it. We'd like to do a song that is original of ours, and it's called The Event. And it has to do with the life of Jesus Christ, and we'd like to do it for you, some of the scriptures taken from the Bible. And here's how it goes.
Then the woman came to him with her face so grim, crying, Master, have mercy upon me. My child is so vexed with the devil without rest. He just won't let her be. Then he spoke these words to her, saying, child, it is not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs of the street. But Master, don't you know that it is even so? The dogs eat the crumb from Master's table. So great a faith had come to all Jerusalem. Christ had come to do the will of God. So great a faith had she that today would be the day that he would give her very bread. Then silence fell like night upon the countryside. The man of God, he come to bring them light. To the blind, to the lame, the halt, to the poor the word was taught. He had come, he come to set them free. With the voice of authority, he gave them victory from a world that had bound them for so long. Such a man was he, this Jesus of Galilee, truly the Son of God was he. So great a faith. Looking down from a rugged cross, seemed that all was lost to the man who hung dying on the tree. woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. With tears in his eyes, he lifted them to a darkened sky, crying, Father, why have you forsaken me? Then he bowed his head and was dumb. They had crucified God's holy son, and they took him and they laid him in the grave. Oh, Jesus, where have you gone? How shall we carry on? You've gone and you've left us all alone. He was dead. But on that early morn, the king was born. To die no more. Victory remains the same, and he gave us life forevermore. So great a faith had come to old Jerusalem. Christ had come to do the will of God. So great a faith had he.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Let me turn the page. Let's see here. Guess what? Gamble Rogers.
So good to be here. Can you hear me? Louder. I'm gonna wear him out. I hit a gal, oh what a pal, and her name was Sadie Brown. I took her out, we'd walk about when the moon was shining down. And the dear little miss, she would give me a kiss, and to her I would sing, Sadie, my little lady, oh, won't you be my bride? Sadie, my little lady, oh, come and be by my side. We'll be married in June and have a long honeymoon, settle down for life. you say, my little lady, oh, why don't you be my ball and chain? I was born in the Coochie Valley, Georgia. Wasn't a whole lot doing up there. Wasn't a whole lot growing. In fact, the ground was pretty poor. In fact, the ground was so poor you had to put fertilizer around the telephone poles to speak over the wires. The rabbit had to carry a box lunch to get across the bottom land. It was hard times, all right. Times were so hard. Folks used to boil coffee grounds white and eat them for grits. Mighty dangerous living up there in the country. Most dangerous thing that ever happened to me was when my Aunt Gladys's 27-pound Persian tomcat jumped out of a hemlock tree and landed right between my shoulder blades and hung on with all 24 claws. The barn cat. Well, sir, me and my boy cousins captured the cat and set up a kangaroo court. I was the judge. Deliberated for 30 seconds, found the cat guilty. I passed sentence. Decided to let the punishment fit the crime. Since the cat was obviously guilty of a moving violation, four of my cousins held him down. That left me with the funnel and the gallon of castor oil. Well, now, the last time I saw that cat, he was in the company of 15 other cats. Five digging, five covering up, and five scouting new ground. Oh, pick it now. Yes, sir, I came from a big family. 14 boys, 19 girls, and three others. Well, sir, I'd like to tell you just a little bit about myself. I didn't always do this for a living. Done lots of different things. First job I ever had, a young man going out into the world to earn his keep. I was a door-to-door Bible salesman in Miami. Well, sir, it's mighty interesting being a salesman. Any of you ever been around salesmen, sooner or later you'll hear them use the word mooch. They're not talking about freeloaders or anything like that when they talk about mooches. When a salesman says mooch, he means somebody who can't turn down the opportunity to buy something. All you gotta do is hold the merchandise up in front of them, they throw the money at you. You can tell where mooches live. They always live in houses surrounded by high fences, big gates, with a multitude of signs on the front lawn, something like, no solicitors allowed, no trespassing, keep off the grass, no salesman, beware of the dog, and so forth. Now friends, if you're a salesman and you see a place like this, you know a born mooch lives there, and all you gotta do is sail in there like the ship of grace, wave the merchandise, and they'll take it and give you the money. On the other hand, if you come to a house that has a fence around it and one sign which says, beware of the dog, give it a wide berth. They have most likely got a saber-toothed tiger on the premises. Well, sir, I was out there my first day selling those Bibles. I came to a house that had about 75 signs, big fence, and a gate on the front yard. I sailed on in there confident of making a sale. I got halfway to the house and I heard something coming around the side of the house. It sounded like a Shetland pony. Suddenly I was confronted by Brobdingnagian brindle stripe pit bulldog. It must have gone 135 pounds. He was admirably equipped with incisors about an inch and a half long, baleful red eyes that glittered, a mouth as big as a furnace door. Friends, I want to tell you, I was scared. I was so scared that I was developing involuntary runs in my gold cup socks. Now, when I was in salesman school, they told me, son, for goodness sake, don't ever show fear to an animal, because an animal can smell fear. Well, I thought that one over for a minute. I decided to act like I belonged in the yard. I took two forthright, self-confident steps in the direction of the house. The dog stopped and regarded me curiously. I could tell he was a little confused, thinking maybe I was a family friend or had business on the premises. I took another step, and I guess he made up his mind, because he launched himself like a howitzer projectile right at the calf of my leg. Friends, I'd like to leave the dog for just a moment as he floated through the air, me with my life passing in review. I'd like to describe the merchandise if I could. Friends, I was selling a big family Bible that weighed about 13 and a half pounds. Yes, sir, it had a monogahyde cover on it and a Technicolor picture on the front. Set it up in the corner and those eyes would follow you all around the room. Yes, sir, it had about 500 pages on it, illuminated script, beautiful heavy bond paper. It had Travels of Jesus, it had the lives of the saints, it had the entire history of the Old and New Testaments depicted in reproductions of old masters' paintings. All in all, it was a handsome and beautifully bound package in a cardboard box that went about another 2.5 pounds, packed with paper and wood blocks. Now, I'm not a praying man, but here I was standing in the yard with that carnivore wafting toward me on the breeze like a hairy dirigible. I had to do something, so I must confess. I rolled my eyes heavenward seeking divine guidance. And friends, it came to me in a flash of revelation that mankind is put on this earth to hold dominion over the beast in the field. And so it was that I smote this deviant animal at the base of the skull with the word of the Lord, causing him to undergo a strict religious conversion in midair. Suddenly his eyes were suffused with gracefulness. He hit the ground in convulsions of ecstasy and confirmation. Well, I knew I wasn't going to sell a Bible with a dog doing a broken act in the front yard. So I went back to the automobile I got in, full of vainglory and pride. I drove off full of myself. But you know, I'm humble to admit that by the time I made the corner, I was overwhelmed with a sense of deep contrition. And knowing that a man shouldn't be ruled by pride and vanity, I turned about and I drove back, and friends, I'm so happy to report that the animal was struggling to its feet, a little bit unsteadily. Nonetheless, he had a new look of joy and radiance about his countenance. I knew he had learned his lesson well, and friends, I hear today that this deviant beast, this wayward creature, is now a regular parishioner at the Holiness Church on the corner every Wednesday afternoon for prayer meeting. Hallelujah! Get to heaven, I'll tell you what to do. You gotta grease your feet in some mutton stew and slide out of the devil's hand and ooze over to the promised land. Take it easy, son. Take it easy, son, but take it greasy. Let the rough end ride and the slick end slide. That's North Georgia laissez-faire. Me a wife a year ago. We got a little boy now, about four. He gets up the table, slaps his ma, rubs syrup in my ear, says, "Ain't you my pa?" Runs string beans up my nose. Fat back collars, chitlins, white acre peas, side meat, and sow belly all over the willow ware. Mighty cute kid, but he's messy. That boy's so ugly, he has to ambush breakfast. In fact, that child is so ugly, the day he was born, the doctor who delivered him held him up, took one good look at his face, slapped his mama. That kid ate so much daddle pepper sauce and gopher stew, the outhouse crawled away. Friends, I'm terribly sorry to admit I learned this tune off a deputy sheriff from DeKalb County, Georgia. That old boy arrested me. Now, he had every high-performance accessory known to mankind on his county pursuit vehicle. He had Goodyear polyglass wide boot series 60 tires, foot and a half wide. With the big white letters on the side of each tire, it said, "Redneck." He had mag wheels, hooker headers, cherry bomb resonators, Delco airlift pleasurizers, spring shackles, chrome tailpipe extensions, Hurst four-speed gear shift, a high-rise manifold, a Holley four-barrel carburetor, and a Le Mans racing stripe. On his Massey Ferguson tractor, he got off that thing, swaggered up to me, said, "Son, don't you be talking spiteful and nasty and mean at me like none of them hippy-dip communist punks come through here every day from Macon. Driving them Volkswagen microbotic buses with all them sleeping bags and chemical commodes in the bed of them like some kind of mobile orgy. I was writing out a ticket to one of them long-haired fruits." He leaned out the window, he say, "Baby, give me 5 cheeseburgers and a Coke." I pulled him out of that contraption, chucked his tail through a Wake Up America billboard. Friends, this was some kind of heavy dude I was dealing with. I'd say by the clothes he had on, he was a primitive man. He was wearing a breech clout made out of 2 Fruhoff mud flaps. Had on a styrofoam pith helmet with an STP decal on the front. Tom McCann penny loafers with quarters stuck in the top. And friends, I'm here to tell you he was well armed in the tradition of the Georgia law. Over his bare chest, he had 2 45 caliber bandolier belts with the cartridge loops alternately stuffed with Havatampa jewels and Slim Jims. Had a shoulder holster made out of a PF sneaker with a toe cut out. Carrying an axe handle personally autographed by Lester Maddox. He said, "Son, I ain't gonna give you no ticket. You're a homeboy under that her. I'll let you off easy like with a traffic warning citation." Down in DeKalb County, Georgia, those warning citations are printed up in the form of bumper stickers. He went back and he got me a citation and licked it one time. Slopped it over the back of my car. I went back and read it later. It said, "Eat more possum." So I'd like to dedicate this number to DeKalb County Law. And if any of you good people came from the state of Georgia, you be careful when you go back through Calhoun and DeKalb County, because them boys will flat tear you up. Florida song. That is, it's written by a Florida writer. He first surfaced in Ocala, Florida, where he angered the Marion County Chamber of Commerce, the Florida Development Commission, when he wrote a song entitled I Don't Care If I Ever See One Damn Orange Again. This is a beautiful song of a timeless love between two old, old people. Some of you might know the verse. Give me great pleasure if you'd sing along. The Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam that holds his dreams in. But that's a secret only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam is golden in the summer, Margaret brings him breakfast. She believes him. He thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow. He's mad as he can be, but Margaret only sees that sometimes. Sometimes she sees her unborn children in his eyes. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the cider sea. Long ago I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes. His cap and coat are patched with love that Margaret sewed in. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. And he watches tugboats down canals and calls out to them when he thinks he knows a captain. Till Margaret comes to fetch him home again through unforgiving streets that trip him, though she holds his arm. Sometimes he thinks that he's alone and calls her name. Windmills whirl the winter in. She winds his muffler tighter. They sit in the kitchen. Some tea with whiskey keeps away the dew. And he sees her for a moment, calls her name. She makes the bed up singing some old love song. She learned it when the song was very new. He hums a line or two. They hum together in the dark. The Dutchman falls asleep and Margaret blows the candle out. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the cider sea. Long ago I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me. Mike Smith wrote that. Friend, I'd like to sing a hymn of praise to one of the most seldom celebrated ethnic groups of American heroes. People for whom the noble concepts of free determination, personal integrity, and Yankee ingenuity are as natural as breathing. I'm speaking, of course, of the commercial fishermen of Big Lake George. Well, Big Lake George is right down the Ocklawaha River from Eureka. Well, it's near Palatka. Well, that's a big body of water. It's 16.5 miles long. Early of an a.m., when the pellucid atmosphere about the perimeter of the lake is the color of gunmetal gray spangled with burgundy wine, and gossamer streamers of sunlight shaft skyward through the palmetto and cypress fringe, and the noble blue heron and the sassy anhinga leave the sanctity of the rookery in search of sustenance, you can hear these waterborne good old boys whipping over the surface of the lake, each one sitting tall at the helm of his 40-year-old flat-bottom paint-flake plywood fishing skiff with a bow piled high with crab traps, trot lines, and fish weirs. He's got a Winchester rifle up there. If he catches some pilgrim rustling his crab traps, he'll perforate his sorry carcass and sink him into sanctified waters of the Mystic Lake. For he flat don't care. No, sir, he don't care. I can see him now, sitting tall at the helm of his noble craft, his sinewy arm wrapped authoritatively about the tiller bar of a 175-horsepower Mercury outboard motor with a Quicksilver lower unit, bronze Michigan racing prop ported and relieved chrome exhaust stack, stirring a paper plate full of pot liquor and grits nailed down to the seat at his left side, his horny, callow right hand wrapped about the frosted confines of a 16-ounce can of Carling's Black Label beer, whipping through the Florida atmosphere 83 miles an hour. His mouth a thin white line, flared nostrils. Friends, he flat don't care. He'd got it all. I used to think these boys caught lots of crabs and fish to buy a big old rig like that. And one time, I'm knocking around in front of the Union 76 pumps down there in Georgetown. One of these gentlemen whipped in off the tarmac, pulling his boat behind his Dodge Club Cab pickup truck. You know the Dodge Club Cab? That's the stretch version of your common pickup, so you can carry two gun racks. Well, sir, he got out of that thing a symphony in country grace. I was up for this encounter. I had on my Johnny Cash boots and my big wide belt, my frontier pants, my Bluebell Wrangler shirt with the pearl snap buttons. As he came toward me, I sized him up prior to the encounter. I said, hi, Dan. He looked me over. He said, I said, buddy, you must catch right smart of crabs and fish to buy a big old kicker like that. He said, Pilgrim? I didn't get that outboard motor catching no crabs. That's where the second part of the tale commences. Winding out of the Georgia Piedmont like a malignant magic carpet of concrete is Interstate 75. It bores relentlessly southward, splits the sovereign beauty of Florida asunder, takes off toward Tampa, past the greatest commercial concession ever articulated in the entrepreneurial visionings of modern mankind, a veritable monument to the legacy of Mickey Mouse, Disney World. Disney World, a $500 million jukebox in the honky-tonk of life. And down this road every day, you've got 93,000 sons of the proud American soil coming to reaffirm their frontier heritage according to the doctrine of Donald Duck. And here comes the average American tourist. Behold the average American tourist. He got his Winnebago camper. He got his Yamaha trail bikes on the front bumper. He's got an old town canoe tied to the left side. He's got four snowmobiles on the roof. Got a pair of L.L. Bean polypropylene snowshoes crossed on the back door. He's towing a Cobia fiberglass family runabout with an Evan Rude V4 Starflight outboard motor with Savage Anschutz 22 rifle, Shakespeare fishing rod, Zebco spinning reels, Uncle Josh pork, Round Bill Russell quail boots. He got Barlow knives, Case knives, Coleman double mantle lanterns, sleeping bags, pup tents, and pack frames. Inside the trailer, he's got Monogahyde upholstery, shag carpet, Marantz FM tuners, Panasonic television sets, and 2.6 children. And he is sitting tall in the cab of his motorized Conestoga, wearing a Pendleton Mackinaw and smoking a Hava Tampa cheroot. He looks down at his lovely bride. He says, "Mama, we are the great, the chosen cosmic consumers. Honey, we got everything we'll ever need right here on our backs." They get down to the Lake Monroe Bridge on the St. John's River and run into a 30-mile traffic jam backed all the way up from the front gate of Disney World. But this man is up for any contingency. He say, "Mama, let us take advantage of this hiatus and go fishing." So they back the boat in the river and set out trolling with 9,700 other pilgrims. Walk across the water on outboard motors. Ain't nobody caught a fish in that part of the St. John's. Too many pilgrims. Game commission's down there about once a month with a pickup truck with a big stainless steel tank on the back of it full of baby shell cracker, brim, perch, and bass. They commit these baby fish to the bosom of the waters to live and proliferate. 5 minutes later, every mother's son of those new fish is back up on the interstate hitchhiking back to Lake County where they can swim in the water. The last man to catch a fish in that part of the St. John's River was a key punch operator from Valdosta. Came down there with a fishing plug he made himself out of stainless steel, electronically welded. It was an exact replica of one of those tanks the baby fish grew up in. He took home a boatload of fish. They troll down the river. They get down there to the big water. Here's one of these commercial fishermen out there in his old boat with his big high-rise Merc looming up behind. He's got his foot up on the gunwale. He got his transistor radio hooked onto a rusty nail, tuned into WCKY, listening to Merle Haggard sing, "It's not love, but it's not bad." And he is whittling out a minute, functional wood chain out of an Ohio blue-tip match with a Barlow knife. He looks up and he sees the pilgrims coming. The first thing you know, one of the pilgrims insults the appearance of the fisherman's boat. And the next thing he knows, he is racing that good old boy, pink slip for pink slip, title for title. Boat for boat. The sun goes down on beautiful Lake George. The noble blue heron and the sassy anhinga return satiated to the sanctity of the rookery. And the commercial fishing fleet returns to the docks, each one of those boys towing 27 Cobia family runabouts. Bright and early Monday morning, he trades all that trash in at the Evan Rude dealer in Palatka, takes the cash down to the bank, renders it into traveler's checks, sends 85% of the proceeds back to Pascagoula to cover alimony arrearage, and buys Mercury outboard motors with the rest. So I'd like to dedicate this whole thing to Mickey Mouse, to Donald Duck, to you and all of your friends, and me and my buddies, and cousin Thelma in the state of Florida. Bless your hearts. Thank you for staying out so long in the rain.
Bring out the piano and the last, a real treat, all the way from Key West, a beautiful group of Calypso players, the Junkanoos, how we wanted them here. For 3 years, we've tried to get them. And finally, our dream came true. They're here with Bill Butler on the piano, Kenny on the drums, Scotty, Leonard, Charles, Aloha, Lee. They are all employees of the city of Key West and direct descendants of Bahamian, Cuban, or Caymanian immigrants. They play on the street corners for the blessing of the shrimp fleet, offshore powerboat race, Old Island days, and many social events in their area. Welcome, boys, to the Florida Folk Festival.